Hello, assalamu alaikum everyone. I acknowledge the sovereign owners of the lands we gathered on, the Gadigal people, and pay my respects to elders past and present. Always was, always will be Aboriginal land. Well, another Ramadan is coming to an end. Another Ramadan where Palestinians have been struggling and resisting occupation, oppression, apartheid, and genocide. Last year at this time, you know, I kept thinking, how could things possibly get any worse? But here we are. The genocide has been live streamed for the last 18 months for the world to see. It wasn't hidden. Every single person could see it. So no one can say that they did not know. Not a single person, not Anthony Albanese, not Penny Wong, no one else in this complicit Labour government. I don't think I will ever forget the horrifying images of Palestinian children being bombed, being sniped, being blown to bits. And everyone saw that. What was their response? At the best, they had some meek criticism, but always couched in Israel has a right to defend itself. That was the best they could do. Some government MPs even traveled to Israel to meet the war criminals and watch the destruction firsthand. I hope this election marks the end of their time in Parliament. Let's make sure we do that. And the brief respite that Palestinians had was destroyed when Israel broke the ceasefire, although I don't know if there really ever was a ceasefire, to be frank. And then came the criminal act of cutting off life-saving aid, followed by the resumed slaughter of Palestinian men, women, and children. More than 1,000 have been murdered in just a few days. And everything is being bombed again. The settler colonial state continues its attacks on Palestinians in the West Bank, seizing more land to expand its apartheid settlements. This is happening as we gather here on Palestinian Land Day. Just this week, Hamdan Bilal, the Palestinian co-director of the Oscar-winning film No Other Land, was abducted and assaulted by settlers. So this Ramadan, I know better. Now I know that there is no red line for Labour where Palestine is concerned. There are no limits to their inhumanity and their cowardice. There are no limits to their shamelessness, hypocrisy, and double standards when it comes to protecting the apartheid state of Israel. I mean, I don't even have words. They ruthlessly pursue anyone who dares to criticize Israel or challenge their narrative. They drove Senator Fatma Payman out of their party. They stripped artist Khalid Sabsabi and curator Michael D'Agostino of the Venice Biennale. And my good friend, academic Randa Abdul Fattah, faces relentless targeting. And the level of impunity they provide Israel and its partner, the US, was there for all of us to see when the Prime Minister and the Foreign Minister couldn't even bring themselves to denounce Trump when he literally called for the ethnic cleansing of Gaza and a takeover of Gaza. Let's make it clear, Donald Trump is not welcome in this country. And anyone who invites him here should not be in our parliament. So shame on Anthony Albanese. When Russia commits war crimes, our government holds up international law and all international standards. But when Israel does the same, it's crickets, complete silence. When it comes to Palestine, they say Australia is helpless. oh, well, we're not a major player in this region. Like, what a total cop-out. No, none of us believes that. Labour and the Liberals stand up in Parliament every day and describe what is happening in Gaza as a conflict. What is happening in Gaza is not a conflict. It is not war. It is slaughter. It is a massacre. It is genocide. It is a war crime. It is apartheid. And it is occupation. That is what is happening, not a conflict. Any hopes I had when the genocide started that the Albanese Labour government would ever call a genocide, admit that Netanyahu is a war criminal, or stop the armed raids with Israel have been shattered completely. Completely shattered. They're not going to do anything unless we force them to. Some days it is hard to know, though, what to do with your grief and your anger. And really, action, you all have shown that action is really the best antidote. So thank you for taking action, rain, hail, or shine. These collective rallies, these pickets, these protests coming out on the streets for the last 18 months have shown the strength of a movement for a free Palestine and the struggle against colonialism and capitalism. These are all intertwined. So your resolution, your coming out on the streets and not backing down is what has kept so many of us sane during this time. Also, there is an election coming. Good. There is an election on May 3rd. So let's make this election a Palestine election. Are you ready to do that? Yes. Let's make sure this election, Labour and Liberals get a very strong message that they will be punished for their inaction. They will be punished for their complicity in this genocide. Are you going to do that? Yes. Are we going to punish Labour and the Liberals this election? Yes. Because we have to hold the genocide enablers to account. We have to hold the genocide enablers to account. Let's also make sure that those who are on the right side of history do get your support so they can continue their work for justice of Palestine on the streets and in the parliament.
Yeah, bravo, well said. Bravo.
Justice for Palestine is a call for justice for all.
Yeah.
Your vote is powerful. So please vote for Palestine this election. Yeah. I want to end by some of the final words of 23-year-old Al Jazeera journalist Hossam Shabaat, who was killed by Israeli airstrikes just a few days ago. And his final message was this: I ask you now, do not stop speaking about Gaza. Do not let the world look away. Keep fighting, keep telling your stories until Palestine is free.
Hi, I'm Ahmed from Fitzroy Primary School, and you're listening to Community Radio on 3CR.
Let me begin by acknowledging that this demonstration is taking place on unceded Gadigal land. Land that was savagely dispossessed from 1788 onwards, and that is still the site of a brutal dispossession and a brutal violence against Aboriginal people. I'd like to offer my particular respects and acknowledgement to any Indigenous people who are with us here today, and to pay my respects, and I think the respects of this whole demonstration, to Gadigal elders past and present. I wonder, have we ever experienced such an intense display of depravity and violence as the one that we are currently seeing unfold in Gaza, the West Bank, and Lebanon? No, it's not just the unimaginable toll of death and displacement. It's not just the incessant bombing of hospitals, not just the entire ecosystem of Gaza transformed into rubble. It's not just the maiming and the starvation and the torture. It's not just the sadism of those IDF hooligans in the sick videos that they post of the destruction they wreak in Gaza. It's more than that. It's the fact, comrades, that supporting this gut-wrenching orgy of annihilation is effectively now the ticket of admission to social and political power in places like here. Shame indeed. If you oppose Israel's genocide of Palestinians, if you assert that a genocidal apartheid state like Israel simply should not exist, then you know what? You can forget forever about joining the social or political elites of this country, at least in this generation. The more forthright you are that Palestine must be free, the more our pitiful political class block their ears and treat you like a terrorist. It doesn't matter if they're Labour or Liberal MPs, vice chancellors, business leaders, senior journalists, leaders in the art world, senior public servants. All of our local genocidaires have shown, as Mayreen said so well, that there are literally no red lines that they will not cross in their resolve to convince you and me that we can all be relaxed and comfortable about Zionist crimes in Palestine. So who's leading the fight for Israel in our society? Sometimes it's explicit supporters of a Jewish ethno-state. They're racists and Jewish supremacists of the worst criminal kind, committed to the unconditional, horrifying negation of Palestinian life. But the majority of those responsible for promoting Israel, the majority of those actually responsible for repressing us, aren't even the politicians and aren't even the ideological Zionists. They're the banal opportunists, the careerists, the murderous elite imbeciles at the head of social institutions like universities or media organisations or New South Wales education departments. They are more than ready to fund their ambitions for social and professional success with the corpses of tens upon tens of thousands of Palestinians. Their moral delinquency, my friends, is simply contemptible. And sure, sometimes, you know, they mouth platitudes. Platitudes about peace or social cohesion or respect or anti-racism or justice or cohesion or whatever words they can find. Sure, some of them sometimes might seem a little bit embarrassed even that they're first forced to do Netanyahu's work in Australia. Maybe they sometimes, in their better moments, their more human moments, sometimes they actually experience the odd flickering qualm that they've put their name to the most horrifying state crime that we have seen for generations. And to allay those fears and those qualms they have, they regularly present themselves as nothing short of moral paragons, fine, upstanding leaders of our society, and not the racist zealots that they actually are of this genocidal status quo that we are in. Seriously, who are these people? Who are these people? Do they actually think, I wonder, that the sun shines out of their asses? Because that is exactly the impression that they give. They behave as if they think that Gazans were born for no other reason than to be slaughtered in Palestine. You can sense them almost holding their noses whenever we force them to speak about Palestine. They are moral and political minnows. Their only principle is their total lack of principle. Their fetish of success in our society, no matter the cost, sweeps away every other consideration. And their silence in a genocide discredits them forever. I'm almost done, but let me just make a few short more points. These people, these monsters, these criminals, they have created a climate in this society where Palestinians, Muslims, Middle East people generally tell us that it's impossible for them not to feel threatened and targeted. And I'm sure every one of us here can completely understand that. But how do our leaders, how do the great and the good of this society describe that deplorable situation? What is their term for this brutal climate that they've carefully constructed, where Palestinians feel permanently tracked, where they're told that they don't have the right to express the most basic ambitions of freedom and justice? What do they tell us? The ruling class in Australia tells us that the name for this is fighting anti-Semitism and ensuring Jewish safety. Friends, you could not make it up. The world over, Jewish safety is the new name for anti-Palestinian racism and repression, as though all of the magnificent anti-Zionist Jewish comrades who are an essential part of our movement and who are here leading us or among those leading us week after week, as though they simply didn't exist, just like Palestinians themselves shouldn't exist in Zionist sick worldview. I'd just like to express my solidarity to every person from the Middle East here and to all of their allies who feel that they just can't breathe this poisonous air that Australian elites have created. We're with you. The attacks on you are attacks on us. We are inspired by your resistance. Now, as Mayreen said, and as we're all too well aware, we're about to have an election where we will be asked to choose between two doggedly genocidal parties. This election of ours comes at a moment when Trump's America is showing us the frightening world that support for Israel leads to. And I don't think we could ask for clearer evidence than the US that Zionism is the cutting edge of neo-fascism in the world today. Zionism is the cutting edge of neo-fascism in the world today. And let's not pretend. I think we have every reason to fear the dark world that Trump and his odious henchmen are sponsoring. But my friends, we have even more reason to resist it with every ounce of strength that we have. Every reason to resist it with every ounce of strength that we have. But doing that is not enough. It's not enough, at least, to just do that at the ballot box. We need to resist Zionist fascism and its enablers everywhere in society. We're too deep in racism and genocide in this country for any election to be the answer, no matter how much we might support those rare, brave politicians like Mayreen, who have the courage to get up and defy the entire political order. The only thing that will durably advance justice for Palestine in Australia, the only thing, is a powerful social movement like the one we have been trying to create here for so many weeks and months. A grassroots campaign of upstanding, peace and justice-loving internationalists which will eliminate public support for Zionism in this country and deprive Israel of the next generation of political agents it needs. I have never experienced, I don't think, a darker political moment in my lifetime than the one we're in at the moment. The forces of race hate have never seemed more violent, more destructive, more irrational. and they have certainly never seemed more legitimated and indeed celebrated by the elites of our land than they now do. But even amidst this darkness, we can be confident, my friends, that the voice of solidarity, the voice of justice, will be louder and clearer than the voices of racism and genocide. Let's never give up on campaigning for Palestine, because we can be confident, comrades, of one thing: we will win. Why will we win? Our movement is a movement of justice and equality for everyone. We will win. We here now will win, because a world dominated by Zionism is a world of fascism, racism, destruction, and violence. It is a world in which no one can live, not Muslims, not Christians, not Jews, not atheists. And you and I, my friends, comrades, we have no choice but to defeat it. Long live Palestine, from the river to the sea. From the river to the sea. Palestine will be free.